With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He was hurting pretty good. At a point where we felt like, he gutted through it. You know, in this game, it's a physical game, and whether it's mentally, physically, exhaustion, there's times where you get tired, and we just appreciate, the little things. And that was a little thing in this past game on a short week, and he's done a lot of great things, and I'm proud of him for it.
He got crap kicked out of him on a play or two, and our trainers came up and said he's probably not going to come back because he got some type of rib injury or whatever it was, and they took him in for some x-rays, I guess, and, you know, so he came back out, and he said there'd have to be bone showing, you know, for him to come out of the game.
Football, toughness, manliness, football, bone showing, show your bone.
Okay, Leonard Floyd gutted it out. He won the Mr. Tough Man Award.
Yes, it's the Mr. Tough Man Award. The Sweep the Sheds Award.
Sweep the Sheds.
Says so.
Sweep
right
the
here.
Leg.
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Yep. Football. Yep. Bone showing.
Kevin Fishbane is our Tuesday guest. Would you stop? Sound like tessitore. You took a barbiturate or something. Kevin Fishbane is our Tuesday 10 o'clock guest as we follow the Bears in their quest to, increase their playoff odds by a couple of percentage points.
They doubled them.
Of course they did. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hello, boys. There are a lot of teams in the league that have worse playoff chances than the Chicago Bears.
Yep, they are, as they say, in the hunt, as Kevin Fishbane joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. So where are we now, and how do you compare and contrast two heritage NFL franchises in various stages of discord?
Yeah, well, you know, at least the Bears are relevant for a minute right now. And I think as those of us who cover the team, as you guys who talk about them, as fans who watch them, that's something. And the Cowboys are extremely relevant. The thing about the Cowboys, as I think we saw with the Thanksgiving Day ratings on their game against the Bills, is they are super relevant even when things, maybe even especially when the wheels are totally coming off that team. I just saw the Jerry Jones quote this morning that said he promises Jason Garrett will coach in the NFL next year. Did not qualify which team. So it's the perfect spot probably for the Bears to get the Cowboys because they're reeling. And then the idea of getting a dome team at Soldier Field, it's not going to be that cold, but cold enough. And then something I pointed out in a story up at The Athletic this morning, the Cowboys have the number one offense in the NFL and pretty much rank highly in a lot of different offensive categories, but they're number one in total yards, number one in yards per play. But that is incredibly skewed versus who they play. They're 1-5 against teams that are in the top 11 in defense and 5-1 against teams that are in the bottom 11 on defense. So they have not been nearly as good when they play good defenses. That's obvious, but it is a pretty giant disparity. So we'll see kind of how that comes to a head on Thursday night.
What's the Akeem Hicks headline to you? What does he look like? How do things feel? I mean, is it? I understand that the conversation keeps changing to he'll play regardless of whether they're in or out of said hunt. Do we believe that?
Well, he was adamant yesterday when we talked to him that he wants to play and he's going to play as long as he's healthy. And Matt Nagy said the same thing. You have to wonder if the Bears lose on Thursday and, the Vikings and Rams win this weekend, if Ryan Pace in the front office and Matt Nagy and Chuck Pagano talk to Akeem and say, listen, we don't want to make it worse. I don't, the medical aspect of it, and I'm sure Akeem Hicks would probably say, because it's a total football guy thing to say, is, every play they're at risk of getting hurt. How much worse can he make the elbow if he plays versus the fact he's putting his whole entire body at risk every play anyways. So I think that there is something to be said now that if you're going to believe in different types of motivation, if the team, maybe especially the defense, wants to say, hey, if we win this game, we are still, we're still in the hunt, and Akiem Hicks can play in at Lambeau Field for us, you know, maybe that's just something that's a little extra boost that they can use. Whether or not that's real, whether or not we don't really know what kind of boost that will be. But I think it's noteworthy that he's practicing and that he seems to be, you know, hopeful to play. And I think we've all seen the impact of not having him in there. I mean, it's impressive enough that the Bears defense still has been pretty good. But we've noticed multiple times quarterbacks being able to step up. And avoid Khalil Mack coming around the edge. And you can't do that as easily if Akiem Hicks is in the middle.
What did Mitchell Trubisky's performance do to move the needle, if at all, on how he's perceived as mattering next year? I mean, I know they're not picking up that fifth year, because why would you? Or maybe you think that is still potentially on the table. But Connor's theory is that it's sort of a zero sum, in that the better Trubisky does, the lesser the level of veteran competition for next year.
Yeah, I'm kind of along those lines too, that I wonder if, I shouldn't say I wonder, I mean, I know the front office and the coaching staff would love for Mitch to finish the season strong so that they don't feel the need to spend a lot in terms of resources this offseason at that position. And as much as Mitch has become not even a lightning rod. I mean, I mean, reading the comments and the tweets after his game, I mean, it's just, it's hard to find anybody that still supports the guy. But for the Bears, for their future, the best thing that can happen to them is for him to suddenly figure it out and build on what he did in those final two drives in these last four games and give the Bears reason to think that there's something there. But I do... You know, how much of this is going to be fool's gold when we look back at it in a few weeks? My thing on what happened on Thursday is we just hadn't seen that from him, really in his career, leading touchdown drives to rally the team back. We've seen multiple times, there were a couple times he led drives that led to game-winning field goals. He's had many drives he's led that have led to missed field goals that would have won the game. But he had not really done the whole bring the team down the field and score a touchdown when the team needs it. And he did it twice on the road on a short week without a live practice. And I think there's something to be said about that. And he did it without, a tight end and, different guys at wide receiver. So, I do think that if this is a franchise that is looking for a reason to not have to go do what the Titans did this offseason and go find your Ryan Tannehill, they are going to take every opportunity, every glimmer that says, hey, he's going to be okay, and that's going to kind of dial down what they invest at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be remiss to point out that in finding their Ryan Tannehill, they found a quarterback that's playing really well while he's healthy. But I think, I think the three of us could kind of come to consensus that would be the exception, not the rule, in finding a quarterback at that salary level for 2020.
Yeah, it's of course, like what Tannehill's doing in Tennessee is pretty remarkable. And I don't think anybody expected it, especially people in Miami. And what's interesting about Tannehill is I think he's been kind of a fair comp for Trubisky in terms of the type of players they are. You talk about the athleticism, you talk about just those little glimpses of, wow, what a cannon, look at that great play on the move, but just doesn't do it enough. Of course, Tannehill had some bad injuries, and every year in Miami they thought, okay, this is the year Tannehill does it, and then of course they ran out of time. And the Bears, you don't want to get into that mode with Trubisky. You don't want to, string it out longer than you need to. But the problem that they're in right now with Chase Daniel is if Mitch was bad, if he was terrible, and I think we are past the point now. Like, I mean, he's going to obviously finish the season, but a few weeks ago when we were wondering about what do you do now, Chase Daniel wasn't the answer. Now, if you had a 27-year-old guy who had played, started for a couple years and there was still some thought that maybe he can find it, then you can have a conversation about, okay, maybe we can bring this guy in and maybe he could be our future or our bridge quarterback when we go draft a new guy in 2021. So, at the bare minimum, I think they have to bring in a guy like that that just gives them a better option to kind of build moving forward. But the quality, because there's going to be a lot of veteran quarterbacks available that they could talk about. And the quality of that quarterback is going to be dictated by how Mitch finishes the season.
We've had a lot of fun talking about Jesper Horsted just because we kind of adopted him during the preseason. And we bestowed upon him a Ken Mastroli Award for meritorious performance in garbage time.
Oh, man earned it.
Yeah, he did. He earned it. He did. We didn't just make it up out of whole cloth. And then he scores a touchdown on a nice catch, a well-run route, a nicely placed ball. How much of any of that is real, and what can they put on his plate now and say, let's see what you got?
Well, I think it's important for them to keep putting more on his plate and give him more opportunities. There's two ways to look at the Jesper Horsted situation. One is the guy didn't make the team. They put him out to waivers, so they risked losing him, and he was on the practice squad for 11 weeks of the season. When the Bears had the worst group of tight ends in the NFL, the flip side is here he is now, and he made a play that is maybe better than any play, certainly better than any play Adam Shaheen's made in his 3 years
here. Oh, God, yes.
A low bar.
Yes. I think it's easy for everyone to forget that there were plenty of good moments for Trey Burton last season. I'm not going to go that far. But he gave them something they haven't had this year, at least at the position. The issue I have with getting too excited about him is, he's still barely playing any snaps. Every snap he has run a route, so they clearly aren't comfortable with him blocking yet. When are they going to get comfortable giving him more snaps? And I think it's nice for them to have these extra practices this week after a short week, and then maybe it'll take until the Green Bay game. But you got to keep building that up, because tight end right now is your team's biggest need. And I think a big part of the last four games, of course, for the Connors of the world, we're talking playoffs. But, the other thing about these last four games is, how do we make Ryan Pace's job easier this offseason? Tight end is maybe position need number one. If Jesper Horsted gets 15 snaps, then 25 snaps, then 40 snaps, and is catching six balls for 80 yards and two touchdowns, then maybe he looks and says, okay, we're still going to have Trey Burton. I have my backup you, and maybe my future you, tight end, and Jesper Horsted. I don't need to go use resources to get a guy at this spot. I can devote those resources elsewhere. So he is part of that equation of make the offseason a little bit easier for a team that has so many needs.
Kevin, you just wait. Next segment, I've got a scenario by which the Bears clinch in week 16, but that's for a few minutes down the road. I'm not happy about it either. You think I like doing this? Having to do this?
You want me to answer that? Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I do think you
I hate
it.
This crap. What's the conversation around Roquan Smith these days? He's bounced back. He has very much bounced back from whatever ailed him. I wonder what his teammates and coaches have said about where he's been the last couple.
Yeah, I think that we are all seeing the Roquan Smith that we all expected to see, and that the coaches and players kind of knew was there, and you had that mysterious speed bump of the missed game and then two bad games following it. And to see what he did in November, I think it just kind of validates what they've said about him all summer. I think that the players, if you go back and see what players said about him after that game he missed, yes, a lot of it was cliche of terms of supporting our guy and we're here with him, but there was not a lot of concern in that building necessarily of, at least from the player's perspective of, he'll be all right. So I wondered though, if these guys are maybe even a little bit surprised that he has ascended this much and what happened has been gone. Because there was some talk back in late September, early October, that's something that could linger the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's
clearly
right.
It hasn't. Clearly he is fine, and he's playing like it. And I think what's been, and this is something Chuck Pagano said yesterday, is the fact that he's doing this kind of coinciding with Danny Trevathan's injury is really important too, because this, once Trevathan went out, everything, all the pressure went on Roquan Smith to kind of be the guy, and he has performed very well in that spot alongside Nick Kwiatkowski, and it just allowed them to kind of say, okay, we can kind of take a sigh of relief here that he's back, he's fine, and hopefully, obviously, that whatever happened in late September is gone, and he's proven that he's going to be okay.
Kevin, as we let you go, what's your assessment of the Bears' actual level of belief? how much is just sort of a bravado they have to put on to know that they're mathematically still viable? But you know, they understand. They can read 538. They can look at the same things we're looking at.
How dare you?
Or do NFL players still really need to have every last bit of that hope made manifest to be as successful as they think they can be?
I do get the sense that as long as they're mathematically in it, they will use that as motivation. Certainly the coaches will. This is just a league of short job spans and short careers and only 16 games. And if you still have a chance in December, it gives you something to get excited for, and especially when they're playing on a Thursday night on national TV. So I do think there is a genuine belief there. I mean, actually, they had a practice on Sunday, and on one of the TVs in the locker room, the Packers game was on, and there were a few guys walking by and kind of taking a peek at that game. You know, not that the Packers record really matters right now for vis-a-vis the Vikings, but I do think that there is a genuine belief of, okay, let's win out and then kind of see what happens. It gives them something to play for. I mean, there's a lot of other things they can worry about individually. They can play for contracts and more money and starting jobs and this and that. But I do think it gives the coaching staff just one more week to say, hey, you're still in it. This is a win or go home scenario, and kind of see how they respond to it.
Kevin, always great talking with you. We'll check up next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.